Welcome to worship wherever you are listening. We are joined by the Spirit of God in one fellowship in Christ. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit onto and into the disciples. So let us come into God's presence. Let us come just as we are. Let us expect great things from God. Let us welcome the Holy Spirit and be set on fire today. Let us pray. Father God, we come thank you for sending your Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Fill our hearts with your love and help us to seek your face. Give us grace to turn to your world with a burning desire to bring your love to others. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Let's sing Spirit of the Living God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 104 we read, How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, it really blows our minds when we think about our vast and colourful world, and remember that you made it all. Bless our hearts today with the fullness of joy that your Spirit brings. Amen. So come, let us worship the King of Kings, the Creator of all things. Let your soul arise to him. Come and bless the Lord our King. Let's sing, come, let us worship the King of Kings. You know, Psalm 104 celebrates creation as the unending activity of God. The Lord has created everything in wisdom and rejoices in humanity and in the world. So rejoicing in the Lord should be central to our worship. This intimacy of joyful relationship is expressed above all in the language of the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God, creating, renewing, and filling all that lives with good things. Jesus told his disciples on the night he was betrayed, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Well, today we celebrate what for many is regarded as the Christian Church's birthday, the Christian Festival of Whit Sunday, the anniversary of events which took place on the Jewish Festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, over 2,000 years ago, the prophesied and promised outpouring of the Holy Spirit onto and into Jesus' disciples. We're going to pray again now, and it's on the song sheet, so please respond with the words in heavy type. Let us pray. God declares, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." So Jesus told his disciples on the very night he was betrayed that they must obey his command if they love him. He knew then just what would be happening, and he knew that the disciples would be devastated by the events that would follow that Last Supper he had with them. Jesus also knew that their strength would rise as they waited on the Lord. Indeed, he knew then that they would be filled with the very Holy Spirit of God. We too know that strength will rise if we wait upon the Lord. So let's sing, "Strength Will Rise As We Wait Upon the Lord."
Upon the Lord, we will wait.
So today we continue our new theme, worship theme, a faith-driven life. We are following on from our theme last month, which was responding to Easter, when we saw how through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, we are all born into a new life in Christ, as we now follow a new way for our lives. This new way has to be the priority for how we live our lives, for we must live a faith-driven life. With the celebration of Pentecost, we learn that in order to help us live a faith-driven life, we have a new empowering. The same Holy Spirit of God which descended onto and into the first disciples on that first Christian Pentecost to empower them for their ministry. That same Spirit also empowers us for our faith-driven life. So our theme today is a new empowering. Well, more of that later, but first let us just close our eyes and open our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to pray. I'd just like you to meditate on the power of the Spirit as I bring you some words now. Jesus said, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Hear the wind of God speaking your name." Pentecost is a time of feeling, sensing, and knowing you are much more than just a brain in a box. Here, now, be all that you were meant to be. Jesus said, "See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised." Feel the now of God coming to you in this moment. God comes to me, to you, to our hearts. The still small voice, the mighty roaring wind, the fire returning warmth to our embers. So open your lives. God is sweeping the way. God is dancing on the breeze. God is here. Amen. Let's sing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." Thank you. Spirit of God, gently you descend like a dove, bringing peace and hope and love. Spirit of God, you spread through your followers like flames of fire. Spirit of God, you crash into the room like a violent rushing wind. Spirit of God, gentle, consuming, powerful, unpredictable. We can never pin you down. We can never predict your coming. We can never speculate upon your results. But we can open ourselves to your coming. Lord, on this day of celebration of Pentecost, we ask that your church here and all over the world will know a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. May we as Christians be empowered to leave our comfort zones and tell others about our faith. May we be clear in our message of love, hope, and faith. Spirit of God, fill our lives. Spirit of God, fill this place. Spirit of God, fill the whole world with your gentle peace and uncontrollable power. Spirit of God, fill each of us with desire to share your power. Support us in the whirlwind of your coming. Spirit of God, show your power now. Lord, forgive us for the days we don't feel like rejoicing, and when we find peace evading us. We are sorry when we fail to live as Spirit-filled children of God. Negative emotions have a habit of infiltrating us. We find ourselves fearing situations we can't control, doubting what we can't see or understand. Sometimes we find ourselves being skeptical instead of accepting, believing, and rejoicing in your wonders. Lord God, forgive us. Help us to live more Spirit-filled lives. Quieten our hearts so that we may hear you, and hearing may know the greatness of your love and the power of your forgiveness. And may we learn to speak of you with everything we say and do and are, living daily with the companionship of your Spirit dwelling in us. God is love, and through Jesus our sins are forgiven. Let us then live in the power of the Spirit. Lord, there is so much going on in our world at the moment. We think in particular of the conflict in Ukraine and Gaza. And once again, we ask for peace and that common humanity might be recognised and common ground be found. And Lord, Pentecost is a time to celebrate the birth of the church. And so today we pray for our own church community. We pray for all who are part of our church family. And we think also about the worldwide church, particularly where the church is struggling with persecution. Lord, renew your people in their faith and refresh them with the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we take a few moments now to think about those we know who need our prayers today. And in a moment of quiet, we pray for them. Lord, comfort those in sorrow. Heal those who are sick. Grant us compassion for all who suffer. Help us so to carry one another's burdens that we may fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, at the start of June and with the summer months ahead, we pray that your Spirit will bring hope and that we, as your church and your people, would be bearers of the hope we have in you. Lord, bring your Pentecost hope to our world. For all over the world, your Spirit is moving. All over the world, your river is flowing. Your presence has come. Your Spirit is moving all over the world. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's sing. all over the world.
All over the world.
Again, we pause to bring our offering to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make, as we all use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. And Lord, we once again say thank you with all of our being for the risen Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, thank you. Amen. Now we prepare to celebrate together the Lord's Supper, and before we do, we say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of the world which Christ will make special. And as he said a prayer before sharing, let us do so too. Gratitude, praise, hearts lifted high, voices full and joyful, these you deserve. For when we were nothing, you made us something. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms opened wide in welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. Let's say together, Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer? Our hands are empty. Our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. We are not fit to gather up the crumbs from under your table. But with you is mercy and the power to change us. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us, that these gifts of bread and wine may become for us your body and blood, healing, forgiving, and making us whole, and that we may become for you your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes. Amen. The Lord Jesus, among friends, gathered round a table on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." And look, here is your Lord coming to you in bread and wine. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now share the bread and the wine. The body of Christ keep you in God's love for eternity. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. So let us now say together, Lord Jesus Christ, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us, shake us, remake us. No longer is what we have been important. It is what, with you, we can be, starting now. Amen. You know, through Jesus, we are given a great insight into his Heavenly Father. In our reading from John's Gospel, Jesus says to Philip, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." And he goes on to explain that those who love him, those who keep his commandments, those who shape their lives by his love for them, such people will continue his work when he has gone to the Father. While Jesus directed these words to Philip, they are addressed to everyone. We are all challenged to continue Christ's work, and to do so we must keep his commandments and shape our lives based on his love for us. Let's hear now from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 8 to 17. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered him, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, then in verse 25, Jesus goes on to say, all this I have spoken while you are still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, that other advocate that Jesus refers to is the Holy Spirit. God living in us through his Spirit, the same Spirit that descended onto and into the first disciples at Pentecost. And our scripture reading today from Acts draws us into some of the things that happened on that first Christian Pentecost. One thing is for sure, when the disciples and followers of Jesus gathered in Jerusalem, they did so with an air of expectancy. You know, despite all that had happened over the preceding weeks, they still knew in their hearts that God had the power to produce something special. It was now 10 days since Jesus had ascended into heaven. The apostles were gathered together with many of the people from Jerusalem who had come to believe since the resurrection appearances that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. And I suppose there must have been up to 120 of them. They'd gathered for the Jewish Festival of Weeks, the celebration of the first sowings in preparation for the harvest that was to come. And the air was full of expectancy. The atmosphere was electric. Each time they met, they must have wondered if this was to be the day they would receive the promised power, the Comforter, the Advocate, which Jesus had spoken of. So let us now enter into that same expectancy. Let us put ourselves back over 2,000 years and find ourselves in Jerusalem. As we take up the story as told by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2.
The reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
From the very moment that the Holy Spirit descended, the gospel message was communicated in the language that the people understood. I believe that from the many images of this story emerges one of the clearest demonstrations that the Holy Spirit is the enabling power to communicate the Christian message. And as if the wind and fire were not enough, this new power manifested itself in such a way that no one was left in any doubt that something extraordinary had happened. As an outward sign of God's power now in them, the disciples found themselves speaking in a strange way, but a way which could be understood by everyone present. And so strange was the experience that the crowds that had gathered in Jerusalem for the Pentecost thought that the disciples were drunk. It must have seemed to the disciples that although they were opening their mouths and speaking, what they were saying was directed by something or someone else. Have you ever been surprised at something you said and found yourself asking, "Did I really say that?" What the crowds found so amazing was that despite the fact that they all came from different places and therefore spoke different languages, they could understand everything that the disciples were saying. Well, so that we can better understand how that must have felt, as in previous Pentecost services, I'm going to present the next part of the account of that first Christian Pentecost in a different way from our usual scripture reading. And we do so in order to feel something of just what happened on that glorious day. You know, when I was at theological college, I asked our New Testament tutor to recall this passage from Acts in Greek, as it was originally written in the New Testament. He kindly did so. And then when I took up my first appointment in Stukeley, one of the residents happened to run a production company that worked for the BBC. So I asked him to use the college recording to produce the following passage. Now the reading starts off in the Greek language of the time, which of course most of us will not understand. But then we will begin to hear the account in English.
Stathis de ho petros, sun tois endeca, eperentein phonein autu, kai apenthensato autois. Andres judaioi, kai hoi katukuntes.
Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and, in a loud voice, began to speak to the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me and let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. This is what I will do in the last days. God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then, whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Listen to these words, fellow Israelites. Jesus of Nazareth was a man whose divine authority was clearly proven to you all by the miracles and wonders which God performed through him. You yourself know this, for it happened here among you. In accordance with his own plan, God had already decided that Jesus would be handed over to you, and you killed him by letting sinful men crucify him. But God raised him from death, setting him free from its power, because it was impossible that death should hold him prisoner.
Pex santes anelata, uc ein dunaton crates thy auton hope autu.
So, what is the Holy Spirit? I've heard the Holy Spirit spoken of as an it, a feeling, a dove, a flame of fire, a ghost, an emotion, or even an ecstatic experience. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the third person of the Trinity, as though it is the least of the Trinity, or a postscript to the more significant Father and Son. All of this is inaccurate. While the Holy Spirit may be symbolized by a dove or a flame of fire, while its presence may be accompanied by an emotion or feeling or ecstatic experience, the Holy Spirit is distinctly separate from those things. The Holy Spirit is not a thing, but a person, the person of God living in us. The Holy Spirit is a living person who has a mind, a will, and emotions. He is referred to as the third person of the Trinity, not because he is the least, but because he is the third person to be more fully revealed in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He is our helper. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is our strengthener, our standby, our advocate, our intercessor. He is indeed another Jesus. Jesus living in us. It's in this way that we should view Pentecost. God living in us. Our Bible study passage this week is Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. And the Apostle Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." God, Christ, is living in each one of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. But there is another aspect to the Holy Spirit. When Peter stood up to preach, all the noise and flashes of fire had attracted a large crowd. A crowd that was contained people of different races and ethnic backgrounds. They were amazed. Through the buzz of sound that came from the disciples, each person was able to recognize their own language. Amazing. I wonder, how many Christians today realize that the Holy Spirit is a new empowering which enables each of us to communicate the Christian message? Well, God certainly demonstrated the power of the Holy Spirit on that feast of Pentecost. And what is more, he has continued to demonstrate that power for centuries since then through the very extraordinary achievements of very ordinary men and women. Men and women who have allowed the Holy Spirit to direct their lives. And you know what? He just wants to do the same in our lives. But we have to be willing to allow that to happen. We have to be open to the new empowering of the Holy Spirit. At the first Pentecost, we see God's Spirit poured out onto his followers, bringing power and life and transformation. We see barriers broken down, lives transformed, and the gospel spread throughout the world. The life and power given then, symbolized in wind and flame, are ours today to receive from God and then give out to others. So in this celebration of Pentecost, I sincerely hope that we all will take something out with us. As we've once again heard the account of the first Christian Pentecost, perhaps we long to see the whole drama reenacted right here in this place, for real. Remember that the story tells us that the disciples were together. There has to be a message there for us today as we are drawn together. Well, how do we know that it isn't actually happening? I would hope that the Holy Spirit is moving among us right now. Well, perhaps you may not think so, because you have expectations of something spectacular, something along the lines of the first Christian Pentecost, tongues of fire, sounds of thunder. Well, by and large, if that's our expectation, such expectation is disappointed, because the essential transformation in the story of the Pentecost is an inner one. Remember that the crowd was enabled to listen to the message and to understand it. The disciples were enabled to speak the gospel, speak it in such a way that people could catch its power, so much so that it became infectious. How can we create such an atmosphere here? Well, actually, do we really want to? Have we been enabled to listen? Have we been enabled to turn around and speak from our hearts to others? Maybe we like to identify ourselves with the disciples. But remember, we're only part of what was going on. Without a listening crowd, they would have been speaking to themselves. So who are we talking to? Where are our crowds? Would they understand us? On this anniversary of the birth of the Christian Church, we need to be asking ourselves such questions. For the church isn't something static, it's dynamic. It started off in a dynamic way with wind and tongues of fire. Where is that fire today? You know, there's a deep longing in the human heart to be heard and to be understood. How can we recognize that in each other? How can we let our conversations develop into deeper understanding of each other? Understanding of the real joys and sorrows of each of our lives and of what we believe God is doing and saying in our lives. How can we show our neighbours in the wider community that we are listening to what they have to say to us? The Spirit flowed through the disciples so that they were able to express themselves without any inner fear. Can we allow ourselves to do the same? Can we express the truth of the gospel to others through words, through deeds? Or maybe you find it easier to do it through deeds. But people need to know that it's the gospel that motivates such deeds. You know, anyone can do good deeds, but we are different. Our motivation is our faith and the spreading of that faith. Christianity is not a private affair. It has to be shared. That's why the spectacular events of Pentecost happened in such a public way, to enable and encourage us to follow the disciples and openly declare our faith. On that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit removed all the blocks to a full and natural expression of what lies deep in the depths of our hearts. The good news of Jesus Christ. Can we today let that same Spirit remove our shyness, our pride, our terror of being branded a particular kind of Christian? Can that same Spirit remove our laziness so that we can all shine with the truth? Wow, this is some challenge. What God is telling us on this celebration is this. Open up. Open up and just let the Spirit take over. And let us pray that we could be like those first disciples. Let us feel in our hearts the great liberating power that follows. Let us pray earnestly for the Spirit to come to each and every one of us as we listen to. Not only listen, but respond. My dear friends, how many Christians today realize that the Holy Spirit is the new empowering for us to communicate the Christian message? Do you realize that? My prayer for you is that God Himself will draw near to you and you will experience the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit in a fresh new way. And as a result, you will come to love Him even more. Amen. Let's sing, O God of burning cleansing flames, send the fire.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host, and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Send the fire today.
God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always, as we go in love and peace to serve you, Lord, and your people, with the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.